If you have your Bibles, turn with me to James chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. That's James chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judges the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another?
In the preceding sections of the book of James, there are several warnings against improper use of the tongue. In James chapter 1 and verse 26, we're told if there's anyone among you that seems to be religious and bridleth not his tongue but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. And so right off the bat, chapter 1, James talks about the improper use of the tongue and how one that allows his tongue to go unbridled demonstrates that his religion is vain or is empty. And then likewise in James chapter 3 verses 1 through 10, James says, let there be few masters, let there be few teachers, because greater is their condemnation. And then he goes on and he talks about the improper use of the tongue, how it's an unruly evil. It's likened unto a fire. It boasts great things. It can accomplish great things. Things that are negative, but also things that are positive. Verses. The verses that precede James chapter 4, verses 11 and 12, how do they relate to James chapter 4? Verses 11 and 12. It seems like there's kind of a break in thought. But perhaps if we look more closely, we'll realize that there is a common thread. At the beginning of chapter 4, verses 1 through 10, James talks about those that have displayed their arrogance. How? By choosing to follow the world over following God, over following Jesus Christ. He instructs them to do what? He instructs them to humble themselves. By submitting verse 7, by drawing nigh to God, verse 8. And so, to Jesus Christ, James tells them that they will indeed receive grace. Verse 6. That God would then lift them up. Verse 10. And so there is this common thread of arrogance displayed. And it's here in James chapter 4, verse 11 and 12, that thread continues. Don't be arrogant. Don't display your arrogance by speaking evil of your brother or sister in Christ. He begins in verse 11, speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth. And so right off the bat he says, in a form of a command, stop slandering, stop defaming your brother. We should not hesitate as Christians to make the same request of our brethren that speak evil of another brother. It shouldn't make us feel uncomfortable to say, as James says here, stop speaking evil of my brother in Christ. That's exactly what James is doing. Stop speaking evil. Stop slandering my brother. Remember, where there is evil speaking, there is also evil hearing as well. But when one speaks evil or slanders his brother, He also judges his brother. They go hand in hand. If one is slandering his brother, it's also true he is judging him as well. You might say, well, is that really true? Well, consider just a few examples. If we were to say so-and-so can't do anything right, well, we've judged that person to be what? We've judged that person to be a failure, a loser, somebody that can't accomplish anything correctly. If we were to say, that person, they don't care about anybody but themselves, we judge them to be what? We judge them to be a selfish individual. Or perhaps we say, oh, that person is only doing that to get attention. Well, we're judging that person to be what? A prideful person. Evil of another are those same judgments that Christ told us not to involve ourselves in Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 5. Turn over to Matthew chapter 7, and I'll read quickly at least a few of these verses. Christ says this in Matthew chapter 7, verse 1 through 5. He says, "Judge not that ye be not judged." We've all heard that quoted on several occasions. But he says, "For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged." And then he says, "And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye?" Verse 3. "But considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye." In other words, why do you go about judging your brother, being hypercritical of your brother, speaking harshly of your brother, when you have a beam in your own eye and he has but a speck? And so he's saying, don't involve yourselves in this evil behavior, speaking evil of a brother. We can't be hypercritical. We can't slander a brother without judging him as well. But I think the angle that James takes here is different. You know, we tell our children or our grandchildren, oh, don't say that. Don't say those things because it's not nice. It's not a nice thing to say about somebody else. And that's true. And a lot of times in the scripture, we're told to love our brothers and sisters in Christ. And it's based on the fact that, well, it's the right thing to do. We shouldn't speak evil of somebody else because it's mean-spirited, it's ugly, it hurts the other person. But that's not really the angle that James takes here. He takes an entirely different angle. And it's one that we should note. It's one that we should consider before we allow evil things to proceed out of our mouths. Notice what slandering a brother makes us. It makes us, first of all, a slanderer of the law as well. He says in verse 11, "He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law." And so when we slander our brother or sister in Christ, we also slander the law. The word here translated speaketh evil is again to continuously slander. So when we slander a brother, we are continuously slandering the law. What's the law here? Well, James has talked about the law several times in this book. In James chapter 1 and verse 25, notice what James says there about the law. He says in James chapter 1 and verse 25, "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." And so this law, the New Testament, is what James calls perfect. It's entire. But it's also liberating. Later on, he talks about the royal law. It's a royal law. And so James is saying here, when we speak evil, when we slander a brother, we are also slandering God's law. We're also slandering the New Testament. You know, the New Testament, God's law, protects Christians from such slander. We've already noticed James chapter 1 and verse 26. When one uses his tongue in an unbridled way, he demonstrates what? That his religion is vain. In other words, it's empty. And in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, Peter talks about the change that should take place when we become Christians. He says, "Wherefore laying aside all filthiness," or excuse me, "laying aside all malice and all guile, and hypocrisies and envying and evil speakings. He says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. And so there's a change. We stop speaking evil. We stop slandering others. And we feast upon the new or the milk of the word. But I like what David says in Psalm 15, verses 1 through 3. He asks some very important questions, questions that we should ask ourselves. Psalm 15, verses 1 through 3. Again, this is a psalm of David. And he says, Lord, he asks this question of the Lord, Lord, who shall abide in his tabernacle, or in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He says this, he that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. Okay. But then he says this in verse 3. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up reproach against his neighbor. If we want to have a relationship with God, it's also true that we must keep our tongues under control. We can't slander our brother. And so the New Testament classifies slander as sin, but it also demands us as brothers and sisters in Christ to love one another. And we've noticed that from 1 John chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. You remember what John says there? He instructs the brethren to love one another. Why? Because when we love a brother, we're abiding in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in us. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whether he goeth because the darkness hath blinded his eyes. We are told to love our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. And so it can't be true that we love our brother but then slander our brother as well. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 20. Do you realize what James is saying here? It's important that it really sinks in, that we really allow it to have an impact on us. He's saying no one can run down his brother without also running down the law of God. Boy, that should be powerful to us. That should have an impact on us. That should cause us to measure our words. One who does slander his brother in effect says, You know God's law, that law that he calls perfect, that law that he calls royal, that law that he calls liberating. No. It's imperfect. There are a lot of things wrong with that law. And certainly we don't want to be accused of making such statements about the law of God. In John chapter 15 and verse 12, Christ told us, he told his disciples, and as we continue to labor as Christians, we should take this command equally as serious. In John chapter 15 and verse 12, he says to his disciples, this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. We have a command directly from Jesus Christ to love our brethren. When we slander our brother or sister in Christ, we are in fact saying, that command has flaws. There are exceptions to the rule. And so we cannot slander our brother. We cannot run down our brother without also running down the law. On many occasions, and I think probably envying and strife and slander, these sins are often well excused. And they're excused by a statement like this. I only say those things when I'm around my friends. I only say those things when I'm in company that I'm friends with. But if you slander a brother with friends, you're also slandering the law with friends. And it seems a lot uglier when we put it in that fashion. But I wonder if there are other sins that we can excuse in the same way. Because we're doing them with friends, it makes it okay. Would you buy that if your child said, what's the big deal? I'm drinking with friends. Hey, what's wrong with you, Dad? I'm just drinking with friends. You say, it's wrong whether you're doing it with friends or whether you're doing it with enemies. You can't drink and be in a right relationship with God. The same can be said of slander. Because you're doing it amongst friends doesn't excuse the action. And so we must remember, as James points out here, that we cannot be a slanderer of a brother or sister in Christ without slandering the law. But he says something else as well. He says, and he speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. And so when we slander the law, or when we slander a brother, we don't just become a slanderer of the law, we also become a judge of the law. Again, this is continuously judges. The judging condemned here is, again, that unrighteous judgment. Those harsh statements, hypercritical statements, often ill-natured, made with imperfect information, partial or altogether untrue information. And so we've got to avoid making those kinds of judgments. But when someone performs an unrighteous judgment, they judge the law. You know that law to love one's neighbor as self, that royal law? They say in essence, well, it's of no consequence. It's unworthy to be followed. It's of no consequence to me at all. And James goes on and he says, when we become a judge of the law, we cease to be a doer of the law, but a judge. You know, as Christians, we're expected to be doers of the law. In essence, we're to carry out the law of Jesus Christ. In James chapter 1, verses 22 through 25, James says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. We are to be doers of the law. We can't just be hearers. We can't just hear the law of God and ignore it. But we must become doers. But consider also James chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. Here James is referencing that royal law to love one's neighbor as self. And here he's talking about showing partiality. But he says, if ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. Okay, so that's a good thing if you fulfill the royal law. But he says in verse 9, but if ye have respect of persons, ye commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. But whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty. But yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. And so when we violate the will of God, when we slander a brother, we become what then? We become a transgressor. And when we become a transgressor, we become a transgressor that says, you know what? That law's not important. That law doesn't apply to me. There are exceptions to that law. And so then we become a judge of the law. Would you like to stand before the judgment seat of Jesus Christ, having judged the law unworthy to be followed? Would you like to stand before the judgment seat having slandered the law of God? I wouldn't. That's not something that I would want to, have to answer for. And so it's a very serious thing then when we slander a brother. But he goes on, and he offers one more thing for us to consider in verse 12. He says, there is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou to judge another? Literally, there is one lawgiver and there is one judge. Who is that one lawgiver and one judge? None other than Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, Christ said to his disciples, he said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And then he tells his disciples to go into all nations, teaching them, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even till the end of the world. Amen. Go into all the world and teach what I've told you to teach. He could say that because he was the lawgiver. He was the judge. That power had been given unto him. And so there is but one lawgiver and but one judge. And in Acts chapter 17, verses 30 and 31, we're told that there is an appointment we must all keep. We're all going to keep an appointment with the lawgiver and judge, Jesus Christ. He'll judge the world in righteousness because he has been given. He must then turn them in. Again, because he is. In verse 18. And Christ said in John chapter 12 and verse 48, the punishment for not following his words. In John chapter 12 and verse 48, he said, and receive my word as one that judges me. The word latter part of verse 12. Who art thou to judge another? You know, in simple terms, he basically says, who do you think you are? You know, why do you think you have this right to go about making slanderous comments, judging the law of no slanderous in the law? Who do you think you are? You're not that one lawgiver. You're not that one judge. We have an expression every once in a while that we've probably all heard, who died, you know, who died and made you king? That's what James, who died and made you lawgiver? Well, that's a good question. I like what Paul says in Romans chapter 14 and verse 4. If you will turn there, Romans chapter 14 and verse 4. Paul says this to the brethren. He says, who art thou? Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. Who are you to judge another man's servant? Can you imagine going down to the local business, walk into Kroger, you find one of the employees and say, you know, you're not doing your job. I think, you know, you need to do X, Y, and Z, and you're fired. You can just go and pack your bags right now, you're fired. What do you think the manager would do if he heard that? You think he'd have something to say? Say, what are you doing? You're coming to my place of business and you're rendering judgment to my employee? You don't have that responsibility. You don't have that right. You don't have that authority. That's exactly what James is saying. Who are you? Who are you to judge another? Paul makes a very good point, a point that we should think about greatly. We ought to consider ourselves doers of the word, not judges, because that's what we should be. That's what the true judge, the true lawgiver has told us to be. I hope these words have had an impact on us tonight. They're important for all of us to remember, I think. we've got to watch our tongues. We've got to be careful that we have positive things to say. We've got to be an encourager of the brethren and not a discourager. When we become a slanderer of a brother or sister in Christ, we slander the law. We judge the law, but we also make ourselves as if we're a lawgiver. We make ourselves, in a sense, a God. We take the role of Jesus Christ and say, hey, you know, move aside here a bit. It's my turn. We don't want to do that. If you're outside of the body of Christ, you have an opportunity to obey the gospel at this hour. It's an important thing to think about, because as we have discussed, we all are going to stand before that judgment seat. We're going to have to give an account for what we have done in our bodies, whether it be good or bad. And we're going to do it before the true lawgiver, Jesus Christ. And so we ought to make ourselves right with God by obeying His will. Well, how do you become a Christian? You become a Christian by hearing the Word of God, Romans 10:17. By hearing the Word of God, you should then believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. That belief should move you to repentance, turning away from sin and turning to God. Confessing Jesus Christ as the Son of God and then taking it that final step. Being immersed in water, raised to walk in newness of life. Then you're a Christian. And then it's your responsibility to remain faithful to God. But also there may be some that have fallen away. Perhaps have committed the sin that we've discussed even this hour. Whatever the sin be, you shouldn't allow it to stand between you and Jesus Christ. And so make yourself right with God. You can do so by confessing your sins, repenting of it. If it's been a public sin, you can confess it before the congregation. We'll pray with you. Please come as we stand and sing.